Chapter 21, Wednesday, July 10th, 1776. To be sold at the office of William Tongue, broker, at the house of the late Mr. Waldron near the Exchange, lower end of Broad Street. The following goods and merchandise, viz. One Negro wench, 22 years old, has had smallpox, is a useful domestic. One Negro boy, 16 years old. One Negro wench, 30 years old, with or without her son, 5 years old. Advertisement in the New York Gazette and Weekly Mercury newspaper. In my dream, I stood on a sandy beach, my back to the sea, the moon over my left shoulder. An enormous wrap was unrolled at my feet. The roads on it were marked with velvet black ink, rivers of pearly blue, mountains of speckled green. It was a map of a country I had never before seen. Just as I opened my mouth to call for Ruth, who always tagged along in my dreams, a thick mist blew over the beach. The roads on the map twined and twisted round each other, hesitating. Then they rose up off the paper. No longer roads, but thick eels with amber eyes. They crawled out of the map, and I feared they would bite me. They pondered me a moment, then slithered down the beach and into the water. I awoke with a start and flung aside the blanket, looking for the eels. There were none there, nor in the potato bin. Ruth wasn't there neither, and her side of the pallet was cold. She was gone to the privy, no doubt. I needed to visit the same place. The sun was already in the trees when I stepped outside. How had I slept so late? Ruth, I called, walking toward the little building, my nose wrinkled. The Lactons would soon need to dig a new privy hole. Ruth! I knocked on the door and it swung open. The seat was empty with a few flies buzzing in the stench. Two blue jays in the sycamore tree called loudly. There was the distant sound of officers shouting orders on Broadway and the clatter of cartwheels. But no Ruth. I made quick work of looking in the yard. The back entry to the stables was locked. She could not have gone out that way. The gate to the street was closed, too, and the latch too high for Ruth to reach. Had Madame already dressed her, taken her on a call? A thought slid through me, quick and slimy as a cold eel. I ran for the kitchen door. Becky! Becky! She came out of the pantry as I flew through the door. Where's Ruth? Oh. Becky looked down at the worn tips of her shoes, then turned away from me. Her eyes were puddled up and red-rimmed. I can't find her, I said. She was gone when I woke. Have you seen her? Becky took the jar of flour down from the shelf. You know where she is, don't you? She removed the lid and stuck the scoop into the flour. Tell me. Becky shook her head from side to side. I should have started this bread earlier, she said, pouring the flour into the bowl. The wet air will ruin the loaves. That's my concern. I should have stayed and baked in the cool of the night. She dabbed her eyes in her sleeve and measured out another scoop of flour. But Madame sent me home, said she wanted a quiet house last night, no bacon. She looked at me over her shoulder. The eel squeezed out all my air. No, I said. I wouldn't have gone if I'd known. No, no, no. I backed away, shaking my head. She didn't, she wouldn't. No. Isabel, don't. Becky followed me down the hall, trying to control her voice. It won't change anything. What's done is done. Ruth! I screamed up the staircase. Stop, Isabel. Becky grabbed my arm and pulled me backward, clamping a flour-covered hand over my mouth. You can't storm around here like a banshee. Madam will beat you bloody. Me too. I pushed her hand away and wiped off the flour. Where is she? What did they do to her? She's gone, Becky said. Gone? I repeated. Gone where? Becky studied her shoes again. Sold. I stopped hearing right. No more birds or buzzing flies or grandfather clock marking time. Sold. I repeated. No, she's not. They didn't. Becky's eyes filled again. Yes, she said quietly. She did. I paced the hall. No. I slept too heavy last night. Didn't notice when she woke.
She wandered outside. We need to find her. She could be lost, could have taken ill and fallen.
Becky watched me go to and fro. The sweet milk madam made up, I figured it contained a sleep potion. Knocked you out so cold they could spirit her away. I am dreadful, powerful sorry, but they sold her away from you.
It made no sense. I would have known. I would have woken up, fought them off, killed whoever tried to take her from me. I took care of Ruth. I promised Mama I always would.
Becky's face shrank down to the size of a coin. It sounded like she spoke through a long wooden pipe. Madam was returning in the carriage when I arrived this morn, she said. Told me not to worry about the milk spoiling no more, that Ruth was headed to Nevis, sold to a physician's family. I shook my head, trying to clear my brain pan.
Where's Nevis? How do I get there?
Becky's face grew larger.
You need to sit down. I'll get a cloth for your head. This has been a right shock to you.
Where's Nevis? My voice echoed off the walls.
West Indies,
Becky muttered.
The islands? All of Mama's terrible stories of slave life in the islands flooded back. Ruth can't cut cane. She'll die. She'll die in a day.
My feet started for the front door.
Wait.
Becky grabbed my arm to prevent me from running off.
I questioned Madam about that very fact. Questioned her right close, I did. Not to cut cane, said she, but to be a housemaid in a fine house, a physician's house, so they'll care for her should she fall.
She's lying, I said.
She's a spiteful, hateful liar.
A door opened on the second floor.
Becky?
Madam asked.
Has someone come to call?
No, ma'am,
Becky said in a false high voice. Madam came down the stairs, one hand on the railing, the other holding a sheet of paper, half covered with writing. The paintings of her dead ancestors on the wall watched her.
I do not appreciate interruptions when I am communicating with my husband, she said. What is the matter here?
Nothing, ma'am,
Becky stuttered.
I was giving the girl her directions for the morning.